WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago, where research meets real-world impact. The master's program in social work blends classroom learning with extensive field education guided by faculty known for groundbreaking research. Applications are open at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
Most of the votes have been tallied and the results are in. Well, some of them are in. Now all eyes are on those mail-in ballots. I'm Sasha Ann Simons and this is Reset. There were a lot of races and campaigns to watch in yesterday's primary in Illinois. From candidates for U.S. president to the state Supreme Court and a ballot referendum that has been a hot potato in the courts. And while some races have a clear winner, a few are just too close to call. So I sat down with WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney to find out what we know so far. Here's Dave.
I think what stood out is that both of these candidates, Trump and Biden, showed what arguably are some weaknesses here based on the results that we saw. And they're tracking with what we're seeing nationally.
Yeah.
I mean, if we talk about Biden, for example, you know, in both Chicago and in Cook County, roughly 100,000 Democratic ballots were cast that did not choose him as the nominee. So people were either picking somebody else on the ballot or not him at all.
Right.
And Biden, you know, it was a thing a few days ago where Muslim activists were encouraging people either to write in Gaza or to not vote in that race because mm-hmm. of his handling of the Israel-Hamas war. There's really no way to measure that. But, I mean, you can see here that there is something.
Right, yeah. I mean, we can see that in Chicago alone, somewhere between 40 and 50,000 chose not to vote for Biden or for any presidential candidate on the Democratic ballot. So that said, Dave, I wonder what it tells you about where Democrat voters are right now.
I think that Biden has to shore these people up heading into the general election. I mean, that's the clear message. It's something the White House and his strategists know that has to be done.
Yeah.
There's softness there, for sure.
Let's talk about Trump. How did the breakdown of votes look on the Republican side?
I focused on some of the counties here that produce the most Republican votes and most votes in general. I mean, of course, Cook County, DuPage County, Lake County. In Trump's case, we saw roughly in DuPage and Lake County, 28% of GOP ballots cast picked somebody else other than him mm-hmm. as president. That, again, suggests that there is an anti-Trump vote out there. And what I find interesting in these suburban votes, that was also true around the country in some of the other primaries we saw. I mean, Politico is reporting that in the Kansas City suburbs, that was true. Same with suburban Columbus in Ohio. Mm-hmm. Also true, Maricopa County, Arizona. The numbers were pretty common here, 25 to 30% of votes, you know, an anti-Trump vote among Republicans.
Yeah. I mean, and as you said, Dave, I mean, they were both the presumptive nominees, right? You know, it was basically a foregone conclusion that the presidential matchup would be between Biden and Trump. So was this kind of a nothing burger?
Well, in some ways, I mean, you could call it a nothing burger in that we know how this script is written. We know that these two now are headed squarely into the conventions. They're trying to raise money. They're trying to build their ground games. You know, it's for us political junkies here on the ground in Illinois, it's, you know, we all like competitive races, close races. We knew going in this was not going to be one of them.
Yeah. I want to talk about voter turnout because it wasn't great, Dave. And I feel sort of like, I've been repeating myself. I feel like we say this most election seasons.
Yeah, I mean, primaries traditionally are more low turnout unless, you know, you've got an open seat in play. I mean, you know, just going around looking at some of these numbers in Chicago, the turnout was estimated at 20%.
Yeah.
That is the lowest number since at least 80 years.
That's,
you know,
really
you go back
low
to presidential primaries going back to 1944 in Chicago.
Yeah.
Nothing like that. In the collar counties, the numbers were striking as well. 20% turnout in DuPage County, suburban Cooks 17%, Will County 15%, and get this, Lake County 12%.
Wow. Yeah, I sort of late into the night, I saw a tweet from our Sun-Times colleague, Tina Svondelis, talking about the Chicago turnout. At the time, I think it was 16%. And I thought, oh, no, it's not going to get much higher than that.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm not going to be too hard on voters here with this because, you know, there has to be a reason to come out. And like we just have been talking about, you know, the presidential race, that's usually the thing that draws people out. It was decided here. I don't anticipate the general election we're going to see the same kind of effect. I think people will come out and vote in the general election.
Yeah. So is the primary turnout not as indicative of the turnout of the general election these days?
Yeah, I don't think you can really draw a lot of conclusions about what the turnout in the fall will be like. But again, it's going to be a very competitive race. Everybody knows that. People feel strongly on both sides. So I think that there's plenty of motivation to get people to come out and vote this fall, whereas this election, not so much.
Yeah. Well, voter turnout might have been low, but perhaps it contributed to a race that was also a bit too close to call last night. I'm talking about that Cook County State's Attorney's race. Now, former prosecutor Clayton Harris III, as well as retired appellate judge Eileen O'Neill Burke, faced off. This was in the Democratic primary, trying to replace outgoing state's attorney Kim Fox. Where do the votes stand right now? 12:12 in the afternoon, Dave.
Well, I could tell you maybe where they were at as of 12:03, so if that's okay. In both Chicago and suburban Cook, by my tabulation, 96% of precincts reporting. It's a 52% to 48% spread in favor of O'Neill Burke, and that's a raw vote total difference of about 24,000 roughly.
Wow, okay.
So there's a hill to climb if you're Clayton Harris. And I, you know, we haven't heard anyone claiming victory in this or acknowledging defeat.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I think the hill is starting to get a rather steep for Clayton Harris.
Wow. I want to take a look at another big item on the ballot, the Bring Chicago Home referendum in Chicago. Now, this is Mayor Brandon Johnson's plan to raise that real estate transfer tax on sales of buildings that are over $1 million in order to generate revenue to help curb homelessness. And this one, Dave, it may not be good news for our mayor. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the latest count on that one, 91% of precincts reporting that the spread is 54% against, 46% for. And, you know, that's a major embarrassment, a humiliation for the mayor. He put a lot of political stock into this. To see it go down in the way it did, I can't say it's surprising, because these tax initiatives, people perceive them to be tax increases. They're hard to pass. We look at the graduated income tax in 2020, J.B. Pritzker's big initiative. It failed, of course, statewide. Difference here is that, at least in Chicago, the graduated income tax passed by, I think, a 70% to 30% margin.
Right.
Here, not at all the case. So I think it's, you know, again, it's an embarrassment for Johnson. I think it demonstrates a level of weakness in his political stature. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how it's going to play out. I think we'll have to see in the fall whether they try to bring this up again.
Yeah, I mean, and is there a chance that this could turn around? I mean, right now, as we've been reporting, it does appear to be headed for defeat, but neither side has claimed victory just yet.
Yeah, and again, I think the vote spread on this, as of just a few minutes ago, 22,000 votes. So it's beginning to be a gap that's significant enough, even with mail-in ballots still coming in and being tabulated. It's I would say, a steep hill to climb for Mayor Johnson and his allies.
WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Now, before I let you go, Dave, I want to dig into some other primary races that stood out to you.
I think, a couple come to mind. I mean, and we've been talking about them on the air all morning long. But, I mean, I think in far southern Illinois, the downstate race between Congressman Mike Boss, the incumbent, and the 2022 gubernatorial nominee for Republicans, Darren Bailey. It was interesting. Donald Trump got involved in that race, backed Boss, and Boss won you know, not handily, but he won in a way that, that both sides have acknowledged the outcome. The other race here is a legislative race that caught my eye, and it's been in the news a little bit, lower profile, but State Representative Mary Flowers on the South Side, mm-hmm. longest serving black legislator in the General Assembly. She took office back when Harold Washington was mayor. She got crossways with House Speaker Emanuel Chris Welch.
Right.
And he invested a lot of resources to get her out of the House. And so Michael Crawford beat her. And so you see a longtime face in the General Assembly about to disappear.
Yeah. Danny Davis pretty handily wins over his four challengers.
Yeah. And I mean, that's sort of an axiom in politics.
Yeah.
That when you have a wide field, the incumbent usually is favored because any kind of opposition gets splintered that way with so many incumbents. Had there been only one, we would have seen, you know, one opponent to Davis, we would have seen a much closer race.
Where did we land when it comes to Chuy Garcia and Ray Lopez?
Well, yeah, Garcia, again, won that race. So I mean, all the congressional incumbents statewide won. So
yeah.
there was no real drama there.
That's WBEZ state politics reporter Dave McKinney. Thank you so much.
Sasha, thank you.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by the whole crew, edited by Meha Ahmed and mixed by Max Lubers. To catch the latest in politics, arts, and culture in the Chicago area, make sure to subscribe and head over to WBEZ.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. Talk to you tomorrow.
My name is Liz, and as a teacher, I think that WBEZ provides endless sources that I can bring back to my students where they can also engage in a deeper understanding. I teach government, I teach U.S. history, and I have used sources from WBEZ in order to help enrich the understanding of my students.